The congregation may be seated. To him who has risen, who has ascended on high and led bondage into bondage, to him who lives and reigns at the right hand of the Father, all glory, dominion, and honor are his. To you, who have been made alive, who are seated with him in the heavenly places, all grace, peace, and blessing to you. We pray, dear Lord Jesus, send us your Spirit of truth, for your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow heirs of the inheritance. Solar power is defined as the conversion of sunlight into electricity. Using sunlight as power for us is a valuable resource. It provides something called renewable energy. Do you ever wish that you had that kind of renewable energy? The kind that keeps going and going? My mom would talk about the need to recharge your batteries. Maybe you need a nap. Maybe you need a vacation. Or maybe you just need something productive to do. Where do you get your energy? Do you sometimes feel like you're running on a hamster wheel? You keep going and going, but never really getting anywhere. When we're most worn out, it seems that's the time when we have the most difficulty in the easiest of tasks. Communication becomes difficult. We struggle to have patience. We struggle to find the right words and actions to share. We push and push, work and work, think and think, until our batteries run out. What sort of renewable energy will cast out this darkness and renew us to believe and live according to God's will? Be enlightened. Know the power of his ascension. We consider a text which comes from Ephesians chapter 1. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his callings, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We pray, dear Lord Jesus, do not leave us orphans, but send us your Spirit as you have so promised. Illumine our hearts and minds with a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen. While sunlight might be free, energy is not. Solar panels must be built, installed, maintained, and still, they don't last forever. Power being harnessed requires that work be done. What is Paul's prayer for you? that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Literally, the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. How? That you would know what is the power toward us who believe. And what is this power? It is according to the working which was worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. The right hand of God does not refer to a literal place any more than the phrase "all things under his feet" in verse 22. God does not have a hand or feet because he's a spirit. For instance, we sometimes speak this way when we say, "He's my right-hand man." We're not talking about where that person is, but who he is. We mean this guy is my most trusted or loyal companion. So when we confess in the creeds that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, we're not talking about a place or a posture. We're talking about a position and a power. A position of the most power. For this is God's kingdom. Something that's been granted to Jesus by means of his ascension. His leaving this world, but not leaving it altogether. In God's kingdom, the right hand surpasses all other. It's exceedingly great, a mighty power, as our text calls it. If you're looking to illumine your burnt-out bulbs, then this is the source. In fact, this is your light bulb moment, where it goes on over your head. In this knowledge, God is giving you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. God is harnessing power and putting it to work in your life, in his kingdom. Paul prays that the eyes of your heart would be opened. This is not a physical power or light, but it's a spiritual power and light. That you may know what the power is that is being worked when Jesus was raised from the dead and seated in the heavenly places. Yes, it costs something to convert power into our own energy. For us, it costs too much. We are like hamsters running around a wheel, never getting anywhere. It's like trying to power a whole factory by that one little hamster. The power that was required to turn our darkness into light is an endless run where we don't get anywhere. It leaves us empty, powerless, batteries dead. And isn't that how you feel when you get drawn away from the light of the gospel? Spiritually wiped out. Maybe you face a boss who demands long hours and gives you little incentive except that you keep your job. Maybe you face a puzzle at home where you have a piece that just won't quite fit into place no matter how much you try to force it in there. A child, a friend, a spouse, a sibling who just isn't lining up the way they're supposed to. Maybe your flesh keeps telling you to give in a little, that a shorter temper is okay, that a lustful action won't really hurt, just a small relapse. Pushing, working, thinking, ignoring, the hamster wheel gets us nowhere, and we're left batteries expired, darkness upon us. The cost to transfer light from heaven to your heart required a great and mighty power. It cost God his very Son. Our death became his death. Our cross became his cross. Our darkness became his darkness. That you may know what is this power. From flicker to illumination, that you would know what you confess. I believe in Jesus Christ, our Son, his only Son, our Lord. That you would know Him who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Yes, that you would know his humiliation, which accepted our weaknesses and stepped onto the hamster wheel for us, never giving in, never giving up, and died for the darkness of our sins. That you would also know him who descended into hell the third day, rose again from the dead, who ascended into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. That you would know his exaltation, that God worked in Christ the greatest power of salvation, raising him from death to life to give you the forgiveness of your sins. This reign of God's kingdom does not come in earthly power. Your enemies are not your boss at work, a spouse, a friend, or someone who's causing problems. What really lures us into darkness, that pushes you till you can't go any further, that tries to convince you it's someone else's fault, to ignore it, or things will fit together if you just try to force it in. No, that's not physical. It's spiritual. As Paul writes, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Those heavenly places. The place where Christ is seated. The place where he has the victory. The light that illumines your heart, then, is more than just relief from physical struggles or mental struggles. We need those too. But above all, how does Jesus come to us? Alive. Where do we see him exalted? Because we don't see it looking around in our life. We don't see it by our good works, which are flawed. We don't see it by our energy level or our spiritual enthusiasm all the time. Instead, we read of it as we did in our scripture reading. It was necessary for Christ to suffer and die and rise again, in order that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached to all nations. That's why he died, and that's why he rose, and that's how he sits at the right hand of God. He is exalted by your sins forgiven, and he comes to you as you hear the word and receive the sacraments. As Paul says in Romans, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. The power, that same power we're talking about here that changes our darkness into light. In water, in bread and wine, and in the written word and the preached word, Christ comes at the right hand of God. Paul writes in Romans 8, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Jesus is seated in the highest authority, not for his sake, but for yours. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, not only in this age, but in the age which is to come. Think about this. If Jesus is the head of the church, and all things are under his feet, and by your baptism you've been joined to him, well, that means all things are under you also. That there's nothing that can rule over you. Not any trouble or tribulation. All things work together for good. Because our enemies, our spiritual enemies, are defeated by faith in Christ. We walk in Christ and treasure his kingdom. 1 Colossians chapter 1, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering, with joy. giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Each day is a day of enlightenment. The more and more we learn about our Lord's death and resurrection and what He is doing for us, is the more we are enlightened to endure, given power to push on, not physically or mentally, but surviving by faith. This is the beginning of your inheritance, to know and grow and to live in the resurrection. He reigns over all things, not for Himself, but for you. Finally, as our Lord says in Matthew 25, the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." We need to recharge our batteries. You need to find time to rest for your mind and for your body. But above all, you also need to find rest for your soul. Know the power which was worked in Christ when He was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand in the heavenly places. Know the conversion of God's sunlight into your spiritual energy. It's free, so use it, harness it, and get off the wheel so you can soak in the sun. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Continue with our next hymn.